Welcome to worship, everyone. We're so glad that you're here, that you can join us as we worship God this morning. We're going to be talking about a parable, the parable of the wise man who built his house on the rock. We're going to be talking about God's grace and how we can stake our lives on that grace and how important it is to always remember that God never changes, that he is the rock and we can depend on him no matter what happens. So that's what our service is going to be about today. And let's open in prayer and ask the Lord to come and bless our time. Let's pray together. Lord God, on this day when we celebrate national liberty, we remember as we look at this communion table that it is in you that we receive eternal liberty. Liberty from our sin, liberty from our separation with you, liberty in the name of Jesus who connects us to our Creator, you, O Lord our God. Lord, may we truly celebrate this hour because you have given us the greatest gift that we can ever have. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Be with us as we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we come to you on this day when we celebrate national liberty. And we are grateful for the liberty of being able to worship in a safe place and the liberty to pray and the liberty to say, we believe in you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who called us to pray and to pray without ceasing. And so we do that now, Lord, in obedience to your command. We pray because you've called us to pray. We pray because you prayed. And we know that you hear the prayer in a falling tear, that you are closer than our very breath, that your spirit is with us, and that we are your people. And as a church community, we know that where two or three are gathered in your name, those prayers are very powerful because we're agreeing together in your name for people who we love, who are part of this community, and even those who are not, Lord. We care about them. And so in that love and with that concern, we lift up these folks to you, knowing that you hear us and trusting that you begin to act even before we begin to speak. Lord, with Grace Johns, we lift up her son, Steve, who is having surgery and will be in the hospital for 2 to 3 weeks, and then a whole month after that at home. It's so difficult to be in a debilitated state, Lord. And we lift up Steve to you. We pray for his complete and total healing. We ask, Lord, for a sense of patience for him and a just real healing so that these surgeries can stop, Lord. And pray for him to sense your presence and learn of you in this time when his physical body just cannot do the things he is used to doing. I pray for the whole family as they stand by and support him. And for Steve Wetlison, we thank you for an eye surgery that went well, and we're grateful for Steve, and we're so glad he's a part of West Valley. Thank you that he can see better now, and we pray, Lord, that you'd continue to bless him health-wise so that he can just enjoy his life and be able to function for your glory and honor in all that he does. With Adam, we pray for his mom. We ask, Lord, that you surround her with your presence, that you would love on her and that you would keep her safe from all evil. Lord, if she needs healing, bring her healing. If she needs comfort, we pray for comfort. If she needs just a better sense of how you're working in her life, we pray that for her as well. With Celeste, we lift up Sally Lance and her dizziness and her ongoing health problems. Lord, we would love to see her back sitting in the pew, volunteering, doing all the things she loves to do. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring her back to us very soon. And that right now as we pray, she would sense your presence and know how much she is loved here. And I just ask for complete and total healing for her and blessings on Michael as he supports her in this time. We also lift up her two grandsons, one who fell and one who had a bite that is causing trouble. Lord, we pray for them too, for healing for them. And we ask for your grace and mercy to be upon their whole family. With Pamela, we lift up her nephew who's going to be joining the Marines. We pray for safety for him, and we thank you for his wanting to do something that is very noble and honorable. Bless his time away and help it to be a growth-enhancing experience for him. And thank you, we thank you with Pamela that her kids also made it safely home after being away for a while. With Judy, Lord, we lift up Teresa Ramirez, who's mourning the death of her father, Lord, and we pray for comfort for Teresa and Bruce as they are there and with family back in Tennessee, and all the preparations and all of the sadness they must be feeling in the midst of so much activity. Comfort her, Lord, lift her up, hold her close, and assure her that you are the resurrection and the life. Lord, our congregation loves Carol McCune. Just pray for him. He is entering his last days. And Lord, pray for Donna and Rich as they stand by. I pray, Lord, that he would know your presence and your love as he looks at out at the flowers, as he looks at pictures of his dear wife, Marie, who's passed on before him, as he contemplates his life, as he welcomes friends and visitors. Lord, thank you for his life, a life well lived. Be with him in these days, Lord. Comfort him and bless him and bring him your peace. We lift up Melba and Sterling Swanson with Debbie. Lord, just pray for healing for Sterling. Blessings upon Melba. Whenever they can, Lord, bring them back to us. We miss seeing them here. Pray, Lord, that you would bring healing and sustenance there. And with Mac, we ask for your blessings upon Amber, someone that Mac has taken under his wing. And please be with her in Teen Challenge and bring her that recovery experience that she so desperately needs. Lord, we also lift up our City Team program leads and the mission trips to City Team that we're trying to do this month. Lord, bring people to volunteer and help us to reach out and help those in need right in our backyard, Lord. We pray that you'd bring volunteers and help us to be able to be your church, not just within these walls, but outside as well. And with that, we pray for our community. Show us how to outreach and be your people, Lord, and for our world in such turmoil. Lord, we know that you promised that one day there'd be no more crying or tears anymore, and we wait expectantly for that day. Meanwhile, Lord, give us a special measure of your Holy Spirit so that we can weather the storms and continue to love. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that you are with us always, even till the end of the age. And with that, Lord, we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Listen to the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had at its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Thank you, Todd. Todd is the one that does our slides, and the slide before that you were looking at is actually the Sea of Galilee that he found for us, and we'll have different slides coming up. I think that's just such a peaceful presence for us to be aware of today. Let's pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I want to draw your attention to the quote that I shared with the children, the Benjamin Franklin quote. It's on the insert in your bulletin. And given the nature of this weekend, I thought it would be appropriate to stick in some quotes from the perspective of some of our founding fathers. As you can see from the quotes, many of them were steeped in faith. They had the knowledge that God was at work to create a place where people could indeed be free to worship as they pleased. That was one of the reasons they came here, so they could live in liberty. And one quote, as I shared with the kids, is especially relevant this morning. It's from Benjamin Franklin, who wasn't considered the most devout, but he said this. I'd like us to read it together. Let's read it. "We've been assured in the sacred writings that unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. I firmly believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." Like that? Unless the Lord build the house. If you read through the New Testament, you find that Jesus talked a lot about houses. He talked a lot about dwelling places, domiciles, and hosts, and getting ready, preparing places for us. I think he talked a lot about that because he knew that this world was not our home. And this world was fraught with a lot of anxiety and turmoil. He talked about houses and homes a lot. He knew that people in this life are tossed about with all kinds of changes and storms and difficulties. And that in this life, the only true place of refuge is building our house on a firm foundation, who is Jesus Christ himself. Now, as we begin, or we've been a little bit in this whole series on parables, I want you to understand something. That if you leave a service saying, "Boy, that was too complicated. Boy, I didn't understand that. What is she talking about?" It means I've done a really bad job. Because Jesus never talked in ways that were complicated to people. He talked to people who followed him by using these amazing stories that we call parables. And people loved to listen to the stories that he shared with them. And he would always tell stories that were relevant to people's lives, that used stuff that they could relate to, stuff that was a part of their world already. Jesus used imagery folks could understand. Now, we talked last week about mustard seeds, if you were here. And we talked about how a lot of people understood mustard seeds because they were farmers. They lived in an agrarian community, so they're like, "Yes, seeds, we get that." All right? Now, probably today, if Jesus talked to us, he'd use parables having to do with memory chips and Google and self-driving cars and apps and genetic technology. All right? Maybe the parables would be about that. Back then, though, in addition to being farmers, a lot of the people were into construction. They were carpenters or masons. And we don't really know if Jesus was a carpenter or a mason or not, because the word in the original text is interchangeable between carpenter or mason. So we're not quite sure. But he was in the construction business with his dad before he began his ministry. So Jesus talks about building a house. He says, "Okay, I'm going to tell you a story. This is how you build a house." And you can just see people perking up. "Oh, tell us how to build a house. Tell us how to do that well. Because that's our business. That's what we're into. We want to know." So he tells them how to build a house that's strong and stable, that will weather the storms. Now, today, any real estate agent will tell you that when you buy a house, there are three things that determine the value of a house. And those things are what? How did you know that? You're right. Two houses may look very similar, right? They have three bedrooms, a chimney, sliding glass door, living room, eat-in kitchen. But even though the houses look very similar, the price may be very different between the two of them because of the location. That is what determines the value, is the location. And we know this, right? Because of where we live. This is a highly sought out area. You know, $1.4 million for a tiny little house that may not be in good condition, and that's before the bidding wars start. Now, if the same house were built in a different location, the value would go way down. And that is Jesus' point in this parable. The house for Jesus symbolized a human life. The first one built by the foolish builder was built in the sand down by the beach. The sand was lower down, it was easier to get to, and a lot of people were building houses there. There were lots of locations in the sand where you could build. You could build in the sand in pleasure acres. Yes, you could. Where fun and frolic was the name of the game. And there's nothing wrong with fun, but letting fun be the foundation of your life is rather foolish, wouldn't you say? Or you could build in the sand in greenback paradise, where acquiring money and more stuff is really the focus of life. And in a lot of places in Scripture, Jesus says that's pretty foolish too. Another option was to build in the sand in competition court, where being better than the person next to you is the point. Jesus says that leads to burnout and despair. Finally, in the sandy loam, you could build in the good works cul-de-sac, which goes nowhere if you don't have a Savior. Jesus is saying this passage, if you build down by the beach on the sand, wrong location, decreased value to life, because location, location, location is what it's all about. And he says the place to build for value and fortitude is up here on the rock. It's a little more difficult to get to, and it may take a little more work in terms of drilling down and making it work. But if you build your house here, your life is going to be built on a firm foundation so that when the storms come in this life, and they will come, believe me, you know that. That's what life is like, lots of storms, and they beat upon you. You will stand secure and you won't fall over like the houses that are being built in the sand. It won't be money or pleasure or competition or good works that keep you from collapsing when things get tough, because all of those things are all about you. If you rely on those things, your house isn't going to stand because you're not going to stand. Rather, God says, it's going to be me holding you up, your Lord and your God, your Creator and Savior, not you. If you let me build your house and if you let me be your solid rock foundation, when the storm is over, you'll still be standing. Why? Because you're so strong? No, because I will be holding you up. After the rains come, and after the thunder booms and the lightning flashes, when the swirling wind dies down, you look around and see that you still dwell secure, because I, the Lord, never change. God says to you today, I am the solid rock and I am faithful and I don't change or shift with circumstances. I am stronger than any storm and faithful to the end. Build your life on me. Our family likes to go to the beach, and there's lots of sand there, and we live up in San Mateo, as many of you know, so we usually go to the beaches out at Half Moon Bay, and each time we go, I notice that the contour of the beach is always a little bit different, depending on the tides and the way the wind blows and whether there's been a storm there recently. And one day we went over there, and there was hardly any beach at all. Sand shifts. It changes. And in the same way, people change and culture changes and geography changes and even your body changes, like the shifting sand. Maybe you've seen the bumper sticker that says, change is inevitable, except from a vending machine. But it's true. Change is constant and inevitable. People change. People can go up and down. People are moody, right? The most frequent question employees ask the administrative assistant about their CEO is the boss in a good mood today? Because it makes a huge difference in the quality of the day for the employee. The people's moods fluctuate. You just never know, right? Geography changes. Anybody remember something called the Soviet Union? We talk about it all the time. Doesn't exist anymore. New countries come and go. Technology changes. In the time it took infants to become adolescents, we all got cell phones. The top 10 in-demand jobs that will be around in 2016 did not exist in 2008. There was a day when people looked for steady jobs where they'd stay in the same place for 50 years, no more. The U.S. Department of Labor estimates the average student will have 10 to 14 jobs by the time they're 38 years old. All changed. Culture changes. In 1969, a politician in Great Britain predicted it will be years, not in my time, before a woman will become prime minister. The politician who said that was Margaret Thatcher. The universe changes. Whatever happened to Pluto? I had to memorize that when I was in the elementary school, right? It got disqualified. It doesn't even get to be a planet anymore. Your body changes. Has anybody noticed that? The number of hairs on your head, if you still have some, or are over the age of 40, is probably declining while the number of wrinkles is going up. I was at the hairdresser's the other day, and there are magazines in that place that I don't usually read, and I don't even want to touch them. But I was bored, so I tentatively touched, and then I picked up this magazine called Self. Self. I don't think I'd ever touched that thing before. It looks like a magazine I'd rather do without. But I was so bored, so I dared to pick it up, and I was absolutely shocked as I flipped through it. Did you know people are making billions of dollars telling you that you can control and reverse the change that's happening to your body as you age? You can Botox it, Rogaine it, liposuct it, aerobicize it, moisturize it, pasteurize it, turn your whole physique into a mudslide. All to prevent change. But the change happens nonetheless, doesn't it? We try to stop it, slow it down, but it's inevitable. Now, with all this change, how do we cope? Where do we go for security, for a solid sense of how to live our lives? For those of you with children or grandchildren, what are you teaching them that will last them a lifetime, that will never change, that will go on after this life is over into eternity, that will guide them and direct them to make wise choices no matter how much the culture is shifting, no matter how much that sand shifts and changes, or the human body changes or circumstances change, but when their lives go up and down, what are you teaching them that's rock solid? Where are they supposed to go when everything is in flux all the time? Sometimes we might wonder, is there nothing that is rock solid that will stay the same that they or I can rely on? The truth is that the only way to navigate a changing world is to hold on to an unchanging God. God never changes. Scripture tells us that. Scripture says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I just want to remind all of you, in case you forgot, and sometimes I forget and I have to remind myself, that God is not a human being. God is God, glorious and full of truth, rock solid in his love and grace for you, that never ever changes. It doesn't even vary one degree or half a degree. You can build your life on the foundation of that rock solid grace that's always there. Because see, God never has a bad day. God doesn't have a bad day. God never wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. Okay? People do. God doesn't. When you pray, you never need to worry about catching God in a bad mood. Wow. Our God never changes. And saying God never changes doesn't mean he's distant or frozen or unmovable like an iceberg or something. What it does mean is that his character is absolutely consistent over time. Jesus is with us today in spirit and is the exact same Jesus who walked the earth 2,000 plus years ago. And what is his character like? Look up here. Look at this table. This table shouts to you of God's character and nature that does not change. On this weekend where we celebrate liberty of a nation, this table shouts out, come to me and experience personal liberty from all your burdens. Come to me and experience liberty from all your failures. Come to me and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are forgiven. Come to me and I will give you rest. That is the rock solid truth that never changes. And Jesus is the one who built this house called Christianity. This house rests on his eternal, unchanging grace. This house where God says, I am your righteousness for you. You can't build the house. Let me do it for you. Let me be your righteousness, your salvation, your foundation. That's what this table means. God gives his life so we can live and experience true liberty from our sin. And God has never changed from the God who gave up everything to go to the cross for us, who today never ceases to forgive a repentant heart, a God who never ceases to love unconditionally, a God who always hates the shifting sand of carnal sin. Why? Because it destroys us. And instead he calls us to a life on the solid rock truth of his amazing, unchangeable grace. His words to us in Scripture are these: my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. You can stake your life on the rock-solid grace of God that never changes. You can build your house on it. It will weather the storms. It will stand up to the winds. It will be there when all else has fallen, because God never changes. And this is such good news, because God is so good, friends. He's so good. So much better than greenback paradise, competition court, or the good works cul-de-sac. That's because God's love for me is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and for you too. That no matter how badly I mess up, when I come to him and repent, God's grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in my weakness. And that rock-solid truth will get me through the worst of storms. Location, location, location. Build your house on God's amazing grace that never changes. Build your house on the rock. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you that you never change. We change. We think that maybe you're not as loving today as you were 2,000 years ago. We think that maybe we got you in a bad mood. Some days we think that you are distant from us when we're the ones that have moved. Oh Lord God, as we come to this table, we pray that we would remember again the truth, the unending truth, the rock solid truth, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you for pouring yourself out for us. We see it symbolized in this table. Lord, may we take it gratefully and thankfully, and may we renew our sense of your presence with us now in all its glory and all its truth and in all its rock solid amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again." Ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. We ask that you hold the bread. You eat the bread individually as a sign of your individual relationship with God, and that you hold the cup. And we'll take it together at the end as a sign of our community in Christ together. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. This is God poured out for you. Take it with gratitude and let his presence minister to you in the next few moments. The blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Let's drink together. Amen. God never changes. His love is from everlasting to everlasting. and those who fear him. May you go out in peace, have courage, hold on to that which is good, return no person evil for evil, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, honor everyone, love and serve the Lord, and know that his love for you is right there and will never change. Amen.